Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
We'll take that again.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. For the world today, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
I know you have questions at the corners of your mind. Traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find.
Come on, I'll sing it.
Reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I do know.
Everybody know.
It's that Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
I know you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies are dark and you think the sun won't shine.
But listen.
But in case you don't know that the word of God is true,
yes, true.
Because everything he's promised and he will do it for you.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
He is the way.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus, he is the for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus, he is the answer.
For you.
Jesus is the way.
He came and he died for you.
Jesus is the way.
He's the truth and the light.
Jesus is the way.
He loves us.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We're grateful. We do not take it for granted, Lord, because there are many who are alive today who began the year even in you but have not ended in Christ. But we are grateful. We began the year in Christ and have ended in Christ. Here we are in your house, still worshiping and still saying thank you. And Lord, we pray that you bless this service as people share testimonies and give thanks, O God. I pray, Lord, that you will bless our time together and let the testimonies be encouraging to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Amen. So quickly turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and let's start reading from verse 12. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. Okay. Right. So I'm going to share with you for a short time, and then I'll give you an opportunity if you have a testimony. And I hope you do have a testimony. I pray you do have a testimony. And I pray that God will give you the courage to share it. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 17 and from chapter 17 and verse 12. All right. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Amen. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Everybody say, turned back. And with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. Now, this passage is full of lessons and great things we could talk about. But I think most important, the most obvious lesson in this story is simply that when God has done something for you, he will be expecting you to come back and say thank you. I think it's very simple, isn't it? It's very obvious that when the Lord has done something for you, he will be expecting you to say thank you. You get it? He will be expecting you, you know, to stand somewhere and to say, oh, but he knows I'm grateful. That will not cut it. That will not cut it. Yeah, he knows I'm grateful. Because Jesus could have said that, oh, but these guys are grateful. Of course, if you are leprous, the Bible says that their infirmity, you know, which is the leprosy they had, made them have to stand afar off. You couldn't join normal society, you know, when you had leprosy in those days. Do you understand? Because it was contagious. It was like Ebola. You know. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? You had to stand afar off. Did you see any of those Ebola cartoons where somebody was saying hello to someone and then it's like from a distance, you know? Yeah, it was that kind of a disease. Because if you had leprosy, it was a huge, huge, huge handicap for you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if you met someone who delivered you from it, you know, and I find it interesting that he said, go show yourself to the priests. God really loves his priests and seems to always try to find a way of involving his priests in ministering to people. Do you see what I'm saying? And the miracle, he does it. It's not the priest that does the miracle. But when God has a representative, you know, he usually doesn't like to set aside the representative and make him look foolish. Do you understand? Yeah, he's not a useless representative. So he usually likes to involve them in the work that he's doing with people. That is one of the reasons why pastors are important. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, because Jesus could have just said, go home, you're healed. But he said, oh, go and show yourself to the priest. I think he was trying to get them to start going to church. Yeah. You get it? These lepers, some bad boys who wouldn't go to church, who never went to church, and he was trying to introduce them to a church. You know, yeah. So he said, go show yourself to the priest. You know, if you didn't have a priest, you would find one. And he was hoping that that priest will also be good enough or clever enough to take the guy's phone number and then do some follow-up after that. Hallelujah. Amen. But what is most important in this message is that he specifically requested and he actually inquired of the other nine. He actually asked, but were there not 10 people that experienced this miracle? Were there not 10 people that got new jobs? Were there not 10 people that got admitted into school? Were there not 10 people that got scholarships? Were there not 10 people that got beloveds? Were there not 10 people? Why is that always exciting? You get it? Were there not 10 people that got healed from a sickness or a disease? Were there not 10 people that were fired and rather hired for a higher and better job, as someone was sharing with me the other day? You know, he was working in a pharmacy across the road, like this pharmacy right here. You know, and it was a small private pharmacy, you know, not the nicest looking pharmacy. Then right across, opposite this one, they built a fancy, new, modern pharmacy with technology and everything, you know, and he was working here. Then these people one day just told him, no, we want to cut down on our staff, and they just fired him. And he walked across to these people and said, oh, wow, we want you, come. And just gets a job. Just right across, just the opposite. Ultra modern, better pay, better facilities, modern systems, and so on. The Lord was just delivering him from his frustrations. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and the Lord just moved him from here, just sent him here. So go and work here and just be happy. Hallelujah. But you see, sometimes to get here, you have to be terminated from here. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the way we are, we don't like to move on. So often some situation has to force you to move on. Do you understand? Yeah. So often some situation has to force you. That's like labor. Labor, when somebody is pregnant, you have to have, you know, what do you call it? The thing that pushes, the contractions. You know, the contractions, they are not voluntary. Do you get it? It's not the mother who says, now, you know what, now you're coming out. No, they don't do that. The thing has to come. And when it comes, we are going. Everybody go, woo! You get it? And then the thing is just pushing by itself. You get it? So sometimes you have to be flushed out of a certain place so that you can go to the next stage. Are you getting it? Because when you've been living in a womb for 9 months, you can get used to it. And want to continue there with your teeth and everything, your growing teeth, and you can't have teeth in that place. You get it. So as soon as you get to a certain point, you see you don't even fit there. It's just 9 months. It's enough. You are ready for the next stage of life and the next stage of challenge, the next stage of progress, the next stage of advancement, some new things. You have to now come out and learn how to live outside water. Do you understand? It's a new thing, but you won't choose it. So something has to choose it for you. And it's called contractions. And it visits you. And then it comes. Woo! Come out. You know, and you just have to be pushed out. You know, and when you're pushed out, you are crying because you think a bad thing has happened to you. But soon you start smiling because you realize that a good thing has happened to you. You know, and you don't want to go back. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So God is expecting people to give thanks. Do you understand? When you get into a car and you drive all the way by yourself to Texas, you see, and you are just a little girl. You see what I'm saying? All the way to Texas, and then you get into that same car and drive all the way back from Texas. They say that people who die from car accidents usually die within 5 miles of their house. 5 mile radius of their house, they die. Now you just get into a car and you drive 1,500 miles one way and then drive another 1,500 miles and come back and you just sit there and look at the Lord and say he has done nothing. Come on. Hallelujah. It seems I'm talking about someone, right? Hallelujah. So you should know that God will be expecting thanks. Amen. God will be expecting thanks. No one owes you existence. No one owes you living. You know, no one owes you good health. After all, we've all been given one chance. You didn't ask for it, but you were blessed with life. Okay, now if after that your choices and your decisions mess it up, no one owes you healing. Wow. No one owes you, a restoration or another chance. Do you understand? Yeah. So when you get sick and you get healed or you recover, it's an act of God. Yeah. God has done something for you that you should be grateful for. Yeah. Hallelujah. That you should be grateful for. And that's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you get it? Psalm 102, I think it is verse 2 or so. Psalm 102, it says, 107 and verse 2. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you get it? They should say what? They should say they have been redeemed by the Lord. Isn't it? They should say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Wow. You get it? So anyone that the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy must say that the Lord has delivered me from the hand of the enemy. An enemy is anything that threatens to cut short your life. That's an enemy. An enemy is anything that sets itself up to hinder your progress and to thwart your advancement. That's an enemy. An enemy basically is anything that pushes against your efforts at going forward. Do you understand? And continuing and living and existing, you know, that's an enemy. And the Lord constantly delivers us from such an enemy. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when he has done that, you need to give thanks. You need to be someone who recognizes that it is God who has helped us. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes when God has helped you, it can look easily like it is your own effort that has brought it. Do you see what I'm saying? It can look easily like, because often what is happening involves what you are doing. Do you understand? It involves your effort. It looks like you are doing something. Do you understand? Like if I wear a pair of gloves and I start cleaning my bathroom, it looks like the gloves are cleaning the bathroom. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't see the hand that is in the glove. You can just see the yellow gloves and you see them going up and down the walls of the bathroom. And if you're not careful, you start to think that it is the yellow thing that is cleaning. But it's really the hand that is in the glove that is making this whole thing work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Without that hand, the gloves are just flabby fingers that do nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? So you need to understand that God is the one who helps us. God is the one who has kept you. God is the one who gives you every advantage and every benefit that you have. Sometimes you walk around or go to a place and somehow things start to look up for you. It is not you. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. And you have to learn to say, it is the Lord. The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who has done it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a verse I saw in the Bible, verse Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. He says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Did you see that? Which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. You know, I am the one who shows you how to profit. I'm the one who gives you the upper hand in life. I'm the one who causes you to be advantaged. I'm the one who causes you to come into fortune. I'm the one who causes you to walk in a good place. I'm the one who leads you to the right people, the right connections, to meet the right people. I mean, sometimes you meet people and you just wonder, where have these people been all my life? It's like, what have I done to deserve such company? Where did these people come from? What is even the basis of their interest in my life? You know, it is all the Lord. He says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm the one who teaches you how to profit. Profit means to be advantaged. Isn't it? It means to have positive change. I mean, to get ahead, to be advantaged. Do you understand? It says, I'm the one who teaches you how to profit. Even when you write an exam and you pass, you have profited. And he said, I'm the one who teaches you how to do it. I'm the one who teaches you how to study, even what to study. You know, look for the Lord in all the things that you do, and you will find his hand in everything that you do. Hallelujah. I'm the one who teaches you how to benefit from things. And he says that I lead you also by the way that thou shouldst go. I'm the one who shows you where you should go, even where to turn, you know, how to be at the right place at the right time. You were not born with it. It's not a talent. Hallelujah. Yeah, to be at the right place at the right time is not a talent. It is the Lord who has been gracious to you, who has helped you. Hallelujah. And that is why he keeps saying, let the redeemed of the Lord, let him say so. Hallelujah. And if you want to be thankful, you will need a good spirit and a good heart. Do you get it? A thankful heart is a product of contentment. You have to learn how to be content. Do you see? You must not look for perfection before you are thankful. Do you understand? Many things are very good for their purpose without being perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say that again. Many things are very good for their purpose without being perfect. In other words, perfection is not required for many things to be perfectly good for you or for the purpose for which you acquire them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're buying a used car with a scratch on the side, it doesn't change anything about what the car can do. Yeah. It's not a perfect car, isn't it? Yeah. It's not a perfect car. It has a line all the way from the back to the front on the side. But for the purpose for which you need a car, this is still very, very good. Yeah. You see, and many people miss out on the opportunity to be grateful to the Lord. It's because they are looking for perfection. They think that because there's some blemish on the thing that I've got, then there is no reason to be thankful for it because it's not what I am looking for. It's not as good as I'd like it to be. Especially when it comes to people with relationships. You get it, spouses, husbands, children, fathers, parents, you know, it's like that. Many people are not grateful to people they should be grateful to. You get it? Just because of a blemish That's because of a blemish on the thing, that there's a scratch on the thing, there's a stain on the thing, there's something that sort of subtracts perfection from it, and that makes it not, you know, qualified to be called or described as perfect. But I tell you that for what the Lord has given it to you for, and for what you are acquiring it to do, it is good. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? It is good. It should be taken. It should be accepted. That even though it has this flaw, even though it is forgetful, or he or she is forgetful, do you understand? He's most of what a good husband is, or a good wife is, and is to be accepted with thanks. And we should be grateful to the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So I pray that God will bless you this morning. I think I have 2 more minutes before. So in 2 more minutes, what do you want me to tell you? Okay. All right. I'll tell you one more thing. One more thing is that we should be grateful to the Lord. And we should remember that really it is He that gives us life and an opportunity to continue to live. Are you following what I'm saying? That God is the one who blesses us. That's why the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, so this is the proper way to talk. Do you get it? That if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Hallelujah. So this is the Bible is talking about constantly acknowledging God and His input in your life. Do you understand? That we need to learn how to talk and say, if the Lord wills, and how to accommodate God in our lives and make room for Him in our plans and in the things that we do. Hallelujah. That if the Lord wills, He says, we shouldn't talk, you know, go to means come on, you know, come on now. He says, go to now. You know, ye say, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, whereas you do not know what shall be on the morrow. Hallelujah. Amen. So we really have to be careful. Amen. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when God allows you to live through a day or live through a whole year, you should be grateful. I mean, you can come very close to the end of the year and still not enter the new year. Yesterday they were saying that some plane or something like that has disappeared.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you can come very, very close. There's no presumption anywhere. Nobody owes you anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, nobody owes you existence. Nobody owes you life. Nobody owes you anything. It is the grace of God. It is God that allows us to live. It is His grace. Hallelujah. Yeah. Nobody owes you a guarantee that you must see 2015. Oh, as for next year is my year. Wow. Who told you that? Amen. So you need to be humble and grateful and say that, Lord, please be merciful. Do you understand? And pray always for mercy. And pray that God will help you. And God will be gracious to you and give you a chance. And as He gives you the chance and as He does the things for you, you must remember that He will be expecting you to say so, that He redeemed you. He will be expecting you to give thanks. He will be expecting you to come back and say, thank you. Lord, you did this for me and I'm grateful. Lord, you did that for me and I'm grateful. That the Lord has blessed me with this, that the Lord has blessed me with that. Not my own hand or my own power has given me anything, but that God has been good to me, and that's how come I have this. Amen. So that's the end of my message to you. I think my time is up. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to give thanks to you. And this afternoon, we come to you and we recognize that really, nothing we have comes to us because of our own effort, but that it is your goodness and it is your kindness and mercy towards us that have brought so many good things, good people, open doors, great opportunities our way. And we pray, Lord, for a heart of thanksgiving. Help us to have a grateful heart. Let a spirit of contentment be with us, because it is the lack of contentment that makes us or turns us into complainers and people who are always complaining and moaning about something that's not working. That indeed, even for the few things that may not be working as we would like them to work in our lives, for every single one of them, we can count many other things that are working as they should and beyond the way they should. And Lord, instead of focusing on what is not working, today we choose to focus on what is working. And we want to give you thanks for everything. We give you thanks even for our church. We thank you for bringing us to LA. We thank you for the opportunity to start a new church here in LA. We thank you for the members we have. Thank you for everyone who has joined. Thank you, Lord, for the many more that are yet to come. And thank you even for the nourishment we get in the church, that we have a place where we can go to on Sunday morning and be refreshed in your word. We are grateful, Lord. We will not take it for granted at all. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks
to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the together for the Lord. Amen.